miscellaneous and debrief about what we heard yesterday on the wolf conflict management front, the field season. And Director Anderson, did you have some thoughts on how we proceed?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. And we also had a good conversation last night at the Wildlife Committee meeting on some of these matters. So I want to just kind of go through a list of action items. First, I did have an opportunity to go back and talk with Julie and Dave DeShiel yesterday afternoon at the conclusion of our meeting. And one of the things that I was thinking about that we might be able to do to help them with the number of missing animals that they have is I offered to devoted, and we'll see, a day or two of aircraft overflight of the area where they were, the allotment as well as adjacent areas. And I suspect Dave might have some ideas as to where we might go look. So we're going to do that. And we also, I talked to Commissioner Parker this morning, who expressed his appreciation for that offer and also thought that there might be some several other aircraft that the county might have in terms of local people that would volunteer their time. So I talked with regional staff before they left here yesterday, and we're going to get that going to try to see if we can. And then, I mean, if the animals just were chased so much that they got spread out and we locate one or two here and there, that'll be up to Dave to decide as to whether he wants to, if there's something where he can go in and get them, but at least offered that additional assistance. We also, as part of this meeting and the Wildlife Committee meeting, talked quite a little bit about the Wildlife Advisory Group meeting, Wolf Advisory Group, WAG. That group is appointed by the director, was established by the director. There's currently 9 positions. Their appointments have a term, and that term is up. We're going to do a couple of things in response to some of the things that we've heard as well as learned. One is we're going to review the composition of the group and potentially add some additional seats to the group or restructure it. We want to keep it at a workable number of people, and certainly get too big and then become inefficient, or it's more difficult to get meaningful work products out of them. But we have heard some concerns about the composition and want from a number of perspectives, and so we want to take a look at that. So we'll be doing that here in the next couple of weeks. We'll be getting a solicitation out for people that want to serve on the Wolf Advisory Group. And that's not to say that we are not encouraging those who have invested and are great contributors to the group to reapply. It's not to say that we're cleaning the house or anything, but want to just take a look at that and refresh that group if that's a okay term to use. Want to also be explicit about kind of the rules of engagement, the expectations. If you're going to be a member of this group, here's some expectations of how you're going to engage with your colleagues on that group, as well as how you're expressing your perspectives. So want to make sure that we have a group that is committed to listening to one another and trying to look for solutions. In terms of the focus area, we've heard a number of concerns about the lethal removal protocols and the flow chart that we're currently using. That would be kind of the first order of business. Want to have, now that we've used it, and we've got a little bit of experience with it, take a look at it, review it, discuss what changes may or may not be appropriate. We know that that's difficult. I mean, that is the one of the, if not the key, a point of divergence in views as to when and if you use lethal removal. So we will also look at the potential for bringing in a facilitator, maybe on a permanent basis, just as a facilitator, a professional facilitator, to help ensure that that group is as productive and as effective as possible. We have had a agency person, Rob Geddes from that's not associated with the wildlife program, has been helping with that. And so don't want in any way to suggest he hasn't been doing a good job, but want to look at that. There's also been a suggestion to look, there's a kind of a mediation process, and so we want to explore that as a means, as a process to work through this, one of the probably the most difficult issue. The other piece associated with the WAG is we're looking for policy guidance that would be come to the commission through the director. And while consensus is always great, understanding the divergence of views, what we really want to hear is what their policy guidance is and the basis upon which they make or are suggesting that approach. So we will be in the event that there's a divergence of views as to how to move forward, as there has been with respect to lethal control measures, we will want to make sure that we have that, we have that documented, and we convey that to the commission. I think the other piece is a lot of the discussion was in this latest incident, or really the last two, Huckleberry and Profanity Peak, was the non-lethal measures, the checklists that we have. What can be reasonably expected of a livestock operator? What have they done? And you know, when have they done their actions met the intent of those non-lethal measures? So want to have a review of that. And then the last kind of piece is the discussion about, I think we need to have this discussion about the expectation of some have that a livestock operator, if they're having difficulties with wolf depredations, that they're somehow responsible for moving their livestock to another location. And we had a bit of discussion around that issue yesterday. I'm not going to go into it now, but I think that is, when we're talking about, it's kind of in that, I mean, I kind of put it in that box, a list of things of non-lethal actions, but I think there's some differences of opinion about what should be expected of a livestock operator in that regard if they're having repeated depredations. So, again, in terms of follow-up to yesterday, how can we make the Wolf Advisory Group as effective as possible? What are we looking from them, and how do we communicate that to the commission, and what are the priority items that we want them to work on? That is how I was intending to move forward. So as a follow-up to yesterday, that's what I had to offer.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Schmitten, I have some things too, but you go first. Oh. Okay, I'll go first then. I never go first. We did want to have a little discussion about the Ruby Creek female too, because I've heard from various commission members that we want to send a signal, perhaps. What we heard yesterday from Wolf Haven was their willingness to consider paying for their capture and transport, care and feeding, long-term maintenance of this wolf at their facility. So if we can get this done without cost to the department and in a way that doesn't trigger any more animosities, which means having it done in a certain time period, I think there's members of the commission that think that's a good idea and would encourage the director. If anyone has any opposing views, Commissioner Holtzmiller?
Yeah, that to me is a very scary precedence, is because the minute she goes to Wolf Haven, she's going to have a name, and then all of a sudden it's going to be poor whoever. And, you know, where do we start and stop on doing this? I mean, we're going to fill a lot of zoos, and there again, the expense of doing it, yeah, this group is going to do it. But then every time we have a problem, Wolf, is that the way we're going to be dealt with? I understand what you're saying because, yeah, where she's at. But I am really be concerned because wolves are wolves. And you know good and well they're going to put a name to her, and then she's going to become a poster child. So.
Completely understand your point of view, and it's a very valid point needs to be articulated that this is not going to be our standard practice in this. And we heard from Wolf Haven. I agree with you completely and was thinking along those lines too until Wendy Spencer from Wolf Haven said that they've only adopted one wolf from the wild in 10 years, I think she said. So they don't see this as the way in which we're going to deal with problem wolves. We could stipulate that this is not precedent. This is not precedent setting. This is because we have this rare opportunity and Wolf Haven's willing to pay for it, and there is a time certain that it will be done within. And if it is not done within that time, we will take the measures that we need to. Commissioner Smith?
Yeah, I understand Commissioner Holtzmiller's point of view. And just for the sake of fruited our discussion, I'm throw out another perspective on that, because I think both sides of that, whether that wolf goes into Wolf Haven or is killed, have messages that go beyond. So on the flip side of that is that if the department does go in at this point in time and kill that animal, I'm concerned about fueling the paranoia and animosity that exists out there in terms of the mailings that we hear and all that. So I think that would add a potential for pouring a little gasoline on a fire right now that wouldn't be helpful.
Both ways, yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that out, put that side up.
Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it would be how it's presented.
Right.
Because if there was no other alternative, I think people would need to know very clearly that in this habituation type of situation, the wolf needs to be killed. There's an alternative. Next situation, if the same alternative existed, we'd probably take it. But if that alternative wasn't there, the wolf would need to be killed. And so it's just kind of a once in a lifetime episode that may happen again if Wolf Haven, you know, had some more money and wanted to go that direction. But we can't guarantee that, and the course of action is to take out the wolf, but there's an opportunity. And if we didn't seize that opportunity, I think we'd catch holy heck for not taking that opportunity.
That's what I'm doing.
Commissioner Mencken?
Yeah, I think there's one substantial difference here. This wolf is never killed. It's never taken any livestock. It's never taken any pets. It's habituated.
Yeah.
I think there's a big difference.
Should we give Director Anderson his chance to give us his thoughts?
We've been working this particular animal pretty hard, and as was described in Nature Report yesterday, I think as we talked yesterday, you can write something down and be as prescriptive as you want, but every circumstance is going to be different. You need to document the set of circumstances prior to taking an action, so that if another circumstance comes along in the future and it's different, it leads you to a different action. You've documented your reasoning, your rationale, and why you took an action. I haven't had a chance to talk with staff yet, following Wendy's testimony from Wolf Haven. Given the set of circumstances that we have with this animal, I believe we need to move forward with capture and providing it to Wolf Haven if their offer for doing that at their expense holds. I think we need to document the set of circumstances around which we made this decision. I can't even begin to imagine what will happen if we were to, with this offer on the table, if we were to go and lethally remove that animal. I'm going to move my date up. and I think just as long as we document exactly the set of circumstances and our decision, to me, there's no question as to what direction we need to go with this set of circumstances.
Commissioner Carpenter's had his hand up for a while.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I listened yesterday very carefully, and I heard the report on the rubber bullets and all the whole thing that was described. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and I thought, you can shoot them with rubber bullets trying to scare them off. It would seem to be reasonable and logical that they could tranquilize that animal with a gun and pass that animal off to Wolf Haven. And however they want to do it, trap it or tranquilize it, move it on. I think at this point that's the way to go.
Commissioner Keogh?
Yes, thanks. I think another thing that we need to consider, too, is that there is a petition right now before the governor. I don't think I'm not sure that this decision on what we do here with this wolf could somehow impact the result of that petition. And so I would like, regarding that petition, I was wondering, and we can get an answer some other time, just kind of what the process is, if there's some sort of timeline. I'm not really quite sure.
And you're talking about the appeal of our...
The appeal of the decision, right, that's before the governor. Our denial of the petition to adopt strict protocol or strict regulations concerning lethal removal.
Okay.
That's what I'm speaking about, yes.
Okay. And I'd like to address that after we finish the Ruby Creek female discussion. I think that's very definitely an important factor to consider. This is a public policy debate, conflict of the highest order, in which a number of legislators very important to us are involved, so we want to be respectful and respectful of the governor's office. So I agree we need to take that into consideration. And I think we've heard from a number of commissioners I think, in fact, the majority of commissioners would support the director going forward and with his thinking about the Ruby Creek female and the adoption offer that's on the table. The one thing I'd add is that Commissioner Mankin and I visited Wolf Haven. And to respond to Commissioner Holzmiller's point about the poster child, the naming of wolves, you know, maybe we don't agree with the naming of wolves. And Wolf Haven does give names to their wolves. But I would really encourage you to go visit Wolf Haven, because Commissioner Mankin and I think, and I were both very impressed with their approach. They are sensible. They're not promoting wolves as pets or as somehow people. their approach is much more nuanced than that. So I didn't really encourage you to go and visit Wolf Haven. We had a good tour. The invitation to tour is open-ended anytime here in Olympia. It's short drive south. Just wanted to make that statement that they have been good cooperators with us, important members of the WAG. So now we can talk a little bit about the appeal. If you know if there is, what's the timeline for making a decision? Is it 60 days?
I'd be guessing, and I don't want to do that, unless Mr. Freymeyer has 45 days.
And when did the clock start ticking? Was right after our, not long after our rejection.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
I haven't seen appeals go to the governor and the governor's response very often, at least from this agency, and I'm not aware of other agencies who have these issues that go on to the governor. So I would expect probably the governor's office to act within the month of October. And as soon as we see what they do, you know, I think we'll certainly get it to you. And I think that will probably explain sort of their process, you know, so.
Okay. Good. Commissioner Kehoe?
Bill, before you get up, I mean, what's the... Does the governor's office, are they presented a record, or what do they have before them in terms of the appeal? I mean, is it just the letter itself, or I'm just kind of curious of the process. I mean, I can look into this myself, but I mean, typically when you have an appeal, you have a record, and it's based on the record.
I don't think this is an appeal, at least as far as I'm aware, and part of the reason I think we need to wait to see what it looks like is I just don't have experience with these things. But it's not, at least as far as I'm aware, it's not sort of a parties make a positional statement and sort of a judge is action. I don't know whether the governor's office asked for information from the department in a proceeding or in a petition before that went to the governor's office. I know they did ask for information, but it wasn't a party type thing. It wasn't a litigation thing. It was a very informal thing. So I don't know whether this is more formal or not. So as soon as we see the result, you know, we'll be able to color in.
Director Anderson?
Yeah. Well, we have been working with the governor's policy office in helping prepare briefing materials. So, I mean, to that extent, we have been asked and have been responding to those requests.
And you've been working with the governor's office looking at mediation options or conflict resolution opportunities?
The only conversation that I've been in was a follow-up on the meeting we had that was organized by the governor's policy office with environmental organizations last week, and there was a suggestion of a potential use of a mediator, and that was linked to my previous discussion about the Wolf Advisory Group and how we might move through the issues associated with lethal removal and those protocols.
Okay. All right. The other topic I thought we should talk about on my list is the whole subject of the smear campaigns, the social lack of civility towards some of our ranchers who are struggling with wolf conflicts, the death threats. And I just feel like it's our responsibility to deplore that kind of behavior and express, as Commissioner Keeney did yesterday, our apologies to our ranching community that that some of them have to go through that kind of stressful and scary situation. I just wanted to explore if there's anything more that we can do than just simply express our disdain for that kind of behavior. Commissioner Mencken?
I'm not sure that an apology is what we want to do. I think that what we want to do is inform these people what their options are when that sort of thing happens, what their legal options are, and tell them we'll stand by them on those. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we have anything to apologize for. We have had our own series of death threats, and Phil has experienced them and others. And in my estimation, we tell the cops is what we do.
Commissioner Keeney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think what hit me yesterday that it's not just the blogs or the threats against the ranching community. It's also a feeling that people in the ranching community or in some rural communities might take the law into their own hands. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not equating shoot, shovel, and shut up with death threats against humans. That's the total difference. But the similarity is that wolf recovery should not be something that it should be within the law. And people on all sides of this need to respect the law, and in not doing so, you create more problems and more situations that cannot be solved. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, if we're going to put out any kind of message, it should be that.
I second that too.
Okay, good statements. Thanks. Just wanted to bring that up. And the other part of it, I guess, is the fact that I got the sense that during the course of the sequence of events with the Huckleberry Pack, that people were making false accusations against the Dasheels, that they were not cooperative, that there was, you know, there was a lot of misinformation when I was getting told that they were very cooperative. They were trying a variety of non-lethal approaches. So if there's some way that we can stand with the cooperative ranchers, defend them in the press, kind of counteract the smearing, the false rumor mill, that would be helpful, I think. Director Anderson?
Well, I think we have. I think we have repeatedly said, and I remember in the meeting with the environmental community being really pointed about that. Okay. So I think we have, and we'll continue to do so, because as we've seen from yesterday, they're working hard and working with us.
Okay.
For the most part.
All right. Thanks. Anything else? Commissioner Schmidt?
It would be very worthwhile to have you go first because you eliminated, for all intents and purposes, my list. A quick note on the Ruby Creek Wolf. The right answer was achieved. And there's one other reason for that. If capture fails, we tried. Mm-hmm. And the public statement that follows that is much more positive than the PR blowback that we went out and took the animal down. So that's one more to add to it. For the director, in your reappointment and restructuring. Just a couple things to be mindful of. I don't think you need to state them anywhere, but you may even be asked. One is the need to seek a balance. Our current structure is balanced. And two, maybe it's just me, but a deference being given to state organizations rather than national. It's okay to have a national office located in the state and consider them. But I think our state organizations are so much more intimate in what's going on with this issue. And right now, the chirping we're getting is now national groups that look at this as a cash cow are leaning heavily on those that are inside. So a couple ideas for you. Do with them what you want.
I agree. I think we're all nodding in agreement. I think the director made a statement about the rules of procedure, the operating, the ground rules. The ground rules are critical because, as we had a conversation this morning, I think we can demand certain behaviors from the people we choose to give this kind of a privilege to. They're going to be insiders. We're going to be sharing a lot of information. We're going to be looking to them for their opinions. So I think we can demand certain rules of conduct, including the kind of cheap shots that they may take outside of the context of the WAG meetings. And they need to be held accountable for their behavior outside the WAG meetings, too, in my view. So we might be able to cultivate a core group that really assists us in charting and going down that very sensible path. Okay. I know everybody's wanting to get on the road. I think we're ready to adjourn now. It's about 10:15, so you have an extra 45 minutes to get home.
Are we talking Monday?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's do it. So this meeting